Once upon a time, there lived a farmer and his wife, as poor can be. They worked from dawn till dusk, yet many nights they'd go to bed cold and hungry. And to make matters worse, they had a grown son as lazy can be, a good-for-nothing layabout who never lifted a finger to help his parents. All day long, he'd sit by the fire in his dressing gown, and if there was food in the house, well, he ate it. If there was none, he went hungry. But nothing would make him work. "What are we to do with you?" his mother would say. "Other children help their parents, but you just eat our bread." But still, he wouldn't work. In despair, the old people decided that if they couldn't teach the boy to work, then maybe strangers could. So they sent him away to the tailor to learn how to make clothes. 3 days later, the boy ran away from the tailor's and was back by the fire in his dressing gown. His parents sent him away to the shoemaker to learn how to make shoes. 3 days later, the boy was back by the fire, warming the soles of his feet. His parents sent him away to the butcher, but the lad spent even less time there. He was getting the hang of running away, you see. In the end, his father decided that the only thing for it was to take the lad so far away he'd never find his way home again, take him into another kingdom and apprentice him to the first man that he met there. And so one day, the two of them, they set off, and they walked and they walked and they walked and they walked ever such a long way. In fact, it was so far that even the old farmer didn't know where he was. The way took them through a deep, dark forest, and the going was so difficult that eventually the old farmer, he was quite worn out, and he sat down on a charred tree stump, and he said,
Oh, how tired I am.
No sooner had these words left his lips than a little green man, wearing neat green clothes, with a long green beard, a wrinkled face and two black eyes, popped out of the tree stump and said,
"Yes? What do you want?"
"Who on earth are you?" said the old man.
"My name is Orc, King of the Forest. Why did you call me?"
"Did I call you?"
"Yes, you called me. You said, 'Ugh, ugh, how tired I am.' Why are you tired?"
"Well, we've come a long way. I'm trying to apprentice this wretched son of mine to someone that can make him work."
"Apprentice him to me? I can make him work, but on one condition. If you can't recognize your own son in a year's time, he stays with me for another year."
Well, the old farmer thought these reasonable terms. Couldn't imagine he wouldn't recognize his own son in a year's time. And he shook hands with the funny little man and went back home. And Orc, King of the Forest, took the boy down to his underworld kingdom, that place that lies beneath the ground. Strange thing about this place was, though, that everything was green. Not just the grass and the leaves on the trees, but the trunks of the trees were green too. The flowers were green. The insects buzzing in amongst the flowers, they were green. The rocks were green. The paving stones that led up to Och's house, they were green. Och's front door was green. The walls were green. The roof was bushy and green. Even the windows were a tint of green. Och led the boy inside and showed him to his family, and his wife, his children, even the baby.
all green. Och told the boy to sit down at the kitchen table, which was green, and gave him some food, which was green, and some drink, which was green. Well, the boy didn't mind green, and food was food, and he was hungry, so he ate. When he'd finished, Och gave him a big axe and told him to go outside and chop some wood for him. Well, the boy looked at the big axe. Looked a bit too much like hard work for him. Oh, well, he thought, and he went outside to the wood pile. Came to the pile, and he got a bit of wood, and he laid it down on the ground, and he just looked at it for a bit. He'd never done anything like this in his life. Well, he picked up the axe, he raised it over his head, and, God, it's a bit heavy. He lifted it up, and he brought it down, without a great deal of conviction, it must be said, and somehow he just about managed to split the wood. Well, he just stood there, marvelling at what he'd just done. Whoa, that was a lot of work for one morning. Well, he thought he'd put the axe down and just take a little breather, stretch a bit, and, well, after all that work, it was probably time for a rest. So he lay down on the woodpile, put his hand behind his head, and before you could say Jack Robinson, he was asleep. Och saw the boy asleep. He came out of the house, gathered the wood around the boy, and set fire to it. Before the boy knew what was happening, he was burnt to a pile of ashes. That was all there was left of him, just ash. Och took the ashes in his hands and blew them to the winds. A glowing ember fell from the ashes, and this Och sprinkled with the water of life. And in an instant, there stood the boy, now looking a good deal smarter, and quite a bit more handsome. Och took the boy inside, gave him food and drink. The boy ate and drank his fill, and when he'd finished, Och gave him the big sharp axe and told him to go outside and chop some wood for him. Well, the boy, he sauntered off to the woodpile, dragging the axe behind him. And when he got there, he found one or two pieces that were pretty small. He put them down on the ground. He lifted up the axe over his head and, well, he brought it down without a great deal of conviction, and he just about managed to split one of the logs.
Whoa, I'm doing a lot of work this morning, he thought. And he just stood there, staring off into the distance, thinking how proud his mother and father would be if only they could see him now.
Well, he came to and he laid the axe down, and without thinking about it, he just laid down on the woodpile, put his hand behind his head, and before he could say Jack Robinson, he was asleep. Och came out of the house, saw the boy asleep, gathered the wood around him, and set fire to it. The boy was burnt to a pile of ashes. That was all there was left of him, just ash. Och took the ashes in his hands and blew them to the winds. A glowing ember fell from the ashes, and this Och sprinkled with the water of life. And in an instant, there stood the boy, now looking so young and fine and handsome that you never saw his equal. Well, Och took the boy inside, gave him food and drink, and when he'd eaten and drunk his fill, he gave him the big axe and told him to go out and chop wood for him.
Well, the boy sauntered off to the woodpile, dragging his feet. He came to the wood, found one or two pieces that didn't look too difficult for him, placed them on the ground, and with a great deal of sighing, he brought the axe over his head and brought it down on top of the wood and just about managed to split it. Oh, his neck hurt after all that chopping, and, well, his muscles were getting ever so stiff. I mean, really, it was probably time for just a little break, just a little one, and then he'd get up again soon. He laid the axe down, laid on the woodpile, and before you could say Jack Robinson, the boy was asleep. Och came out of the house. He saw the boy asleep, gathered all the wood around him, and set fire to it. The boy was burnt to a pile of ashes. That was all there was left of him. Och took the ashes and blew them to the winds. A glowing ember fell from the ashes, and this he sprinkled with the water of life. And in an instant, there stood the boy, now looking so fine and so handsome, you could neither describe him nor imagine him, only tell fairy tales about him. Well, the boy stayed with Och for a whole year, and he really learnt how to work, and a good few other things besides. At the end of the year, the old farmer came trudging through the forest, found his way to Och's tree stump, cried, "Och!" And the little green man came up and took him down beneath the ground. Och led him behind his house and showed him a great big field that was full of nothing but sheep. Sheep, 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 sheep. Hundreds of them.
"Well, which one's your son?"
"But there's nothing but sheep."
"Exactly. And which one's your son?"
"Well, I've no idea. This one?"
"Nope."
"That one, over there."
"No."
"Oh, dear. That big one there."
"No. That's three guesses. He stays with me for another year."
And that was that. The old farmer trudged back home, wondering what on earth he was going to tell his wife, and the boy gave Och another year's service. At the end of the second year, the old farmer made his way back to Och's forest, came to his tree stump, cried out, "Och!" And Och came up and took him down beneath the ground. This time, Och showed him a great big barn that was full of nothing but chickens. Chickens, chickens, everywhere. The barn, it was stuffed full of them. There were so many chickens that as soon as you walked in, you had a chicken on your head and a chicken on either shoulder.
"Well, which one's your son?"
"But there's nothing but chickens."
"Exactly. And which one's your son?"
"Oh, I've no idea. This one."
"No."
"Oh, this one."
"No."
"That big one over there."
"No, that's three guesses. He stays with me for another year."
And that was that. The old farmer trudged back home, wondering what on earth his wife was going to say to this one, and the boy gave Och another year's service. At the end of the third year, the old farmer was making his way back through Och's forest when he came across an old man with a long white beard, skin as white as milk, and robes that were white as well. The man in white was sitting in a big pool of sunshine in the middle of the forest. When he saw the old farmer, he asked him why he was looking so sad, and the old farmer immediately poured out the whole story about Orc and his son and how he was scared he'd never see his son again.
"That Orc," said the man in white, "he always draws things out as long as he can. But if you like, I'll tell you how to get your son back. When you come to Orc's kingdom, he will show you a great garden that's full of geese. Now your son is the one standing alone beneath the lime trees, preening its feathers."
Well, the old farmer, he couldn't stop thanking the man in white, shook him by the hand and promised he'd pray for him every day of his life. The old man in white said that wouldn't really be necessary, but thanked him nonetheless. The old farmer went on his way, and when he came to Och's tree stump, he cried out, "Och!" And the little green one came up and took the old man beneath the ground. Just as the man in white had said, Och showed the old farmer a great big garden that was full of nothing but geese. Geese, 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 geese everywhere, all cackling at once, and everyone looking exactly alike.
"Well, which one's your son?"
The old farmer, he looked at the geese. He looked from one to the other, and they all looked alike. But then he spotted one goose was standing all by itself beneath the lime tree, and he said,
that one there, that's my son." "The devil take you! How did you know that?" "Oh, well, take him, see if I care."
And that was that. Father and son were reunited, and as they walked back home, they told each other their stories. The old man told his son how bad things were back home, how they were poorer now than they'd been before. And the boy told his father how things had been with him down in Och's kingdom.
"What are we to do? I'm poor, you're poor. You've worked 3 years and you've earned nothing."
"Don't worry, father. We'll soon be rich. Do you see those princes hunting quails? Their falcons are too slow. I myself will become a falcon, catch one of the quails and bring it back to you. The princes will want to buy me from you, but you must sell me for nothing less than 300 rubles, without my hood." And with that, the boy transformed himself into a bright red falcon. He flew away into the forest, overtook the prince's falcons, caught a quail, and brought it back to the old farmer. The princes came riding out of the forest on their fancy horses.
"Is that your falcon?"
"Yes, he's mine."
"How much do you want for him?"
300 rubles, your highness, but the hood's mine."
"What would we want your smelly hood for? We'll have him one made out of silk."
And they paid the old man the money and took the falcon away with them. But as soon as they let the bird loose to hunt quail, it flew into the forest, disappeared amongst the trees, came back to the old farmer, and became a young man once more.
"Well, that's a good trick you've learned. But really, 300 rubles, it's hardly a fortune."
"Don't worry, father. There's more where that came from. Do you see those lords hunting foxes? Their dogs are too slow. I will transform myself into a greyhound, catch one of the foxes, and bring it back to you. The lords will want to buy me from you, but you must sell me for nothing less than 300 rubles, without the collar." And with that, the boy transformed himself into a fine greyhound, sleek and swift. He sped away into the forest, overtook the lord's dogs, caught a fox, and dragged it back to the old farmer.
The lords came
riding out of the forest on their grand horses.
Is that your greyhound?
Yes, he's mine.
How much do you want for him?
300 rubles, milord, without the collar.
What would we want your filthy collar for? We'll have him one made out of brocade.
And they paid the old farmer the money and took the dog away with them. But as soon as they set it loose to hunt after foxes, it ran into the forest, disappeared amongst the trees, came back to the old farmer, and became a young man once more.
Well, 600 is better than 300, but it's barely enough to pay off our debts.
Don't worry, father. The real treasure is still to come. Soon we will come to a horse fair. I will transform myself into a magnificent horse. Traders will want to buy me, but you must sell me for nothing less than 1,000 rubles, without my bridle. And with that, the boy transformed himself into the most magnificent horse the old farmer had ever seen. Fiery as a dragon, rearing and pawing at the ground. When they came to the horse fair, the traders dropped whatever business they had and rushed over to the old farmer, asking him what his price was.
1,000 rubles, without the bridle.
1,000 rubles is too much, but listen, I'll give you 600.
Don't listen to him, my friend. 600 is too little for such a fine horse. I'll give you 650.
No, it's 1,000 rubles and nothing less.
I can see you're an honest man, and I'd like to do you a good deal. I'll give you 700 in cash.
Don't insult the gentleman. He knows what his horse is worth. 750, that's what it's worth. There you go, sir, 750 in cash.
No, 1,000 or nothing.
Just then, an old gypsy pushed his way through the crowd.
How much does he want for his horse?
He's asking for 1,000, but that's a bit of a steep price if you ask me.
Listen, said the gypsy, I'll give you 1,000 rubles for the horse, but I want the bridle.
No, the bridle's mine.
How can you sell a horse without a bridle? Who ever heard of such a thing? Listen, I'll give you 1,000 for the horse and 100 rubles for the bridle.
The old farmer, he looked at the bridle. It was a strip of old leather, couldn't have been worth more than a few pennies. And yet here the gypsy was offering him 100 rubles for it. He couldn't resist the money. And he accepted the deal, shook hands on it, and the old gypsy paid over the money and led the horse away with him. But it wasn't really a gypsy at all. It was Och. He rode the horse out of the fair and into the sky. Over the treetops and beneath the clouds they flew until they came back to Och's underworld kingdom. Och tied the horse outside his house and went inside to eat.
Ha! He thought he could deceive me, but now he's mine again.
Later that day, Och took the horse down to the river to drink. But as soon as the horse's lips touched the water, it became a little fish and swam away downstream. Och became a bigger fish and swam away after it. On and on they raced, and whenever the big fish came close enough, it would open its jaws to gobble down the little one. But the little one would just slap it in the face and swim away. On and on they raced, with the big one coming ever closer and closer, and just as it seemed as though the little fish was about to be gobbled down in one gulp, it jumped out of the water, became a golden ring, and landed on the riverbank. princess was washing her clothes by the river, and when she saw the ring, she squealed with delight, picked it up, and put it on her finger. She took it home and showed her father. He thought it very pretty, but she liked it so much she couldn't decide which finger to put it on. Soon, however, a merchant was announced at the palace. Now, this wasn't a merchant at all, but was Och in disguise. He told the king that he was sailing through his lands with a rich cargo of treasure belonging to another king, and he happened to have lost a particularly precious golden ring, had anyone in the kingdom come across such a ring. Well, the king said yes, indeed, his daughter had picked it up. The daughter was summoned, and Och demanded the ring from her. She refused, saying that since she found it, it was hers now. Well, her father took the merchant's side and told her to give the ring back. Well, she said, if I can't have it, then no one will. And she pulled it from her finger and threw it to the ground. And when it hit the ground, it shattered into 1,000 pieces of corn. Och transformed himself into a chicken and started to peck, peck, peck all the pieces of corn up. And when he'd gathered 999, he flew out of the window. But one piece of corn had rolled underneath her shoe, and when she picked it up and threw it into the air, it became a young man so young and fine and handsome that she couldn't help but fall hopelessly in love with him and would marry no one else. Well, when the king saw that the boy was just a peasant, he didn't like the idea at all. But the princess pleaded so endearingly with him that in the end he gave in. The two of them were married at a fine wedding that went on for 7 days and 7 nights. And at the end of it, they built themselves a big castle all of their own. And the old farmer and his wife, they left behind their old hovel and they went to live in that palace. And never did they toil again, not from dawn till dusk, not from lunchtime till tea time, not from tea time till the time when you brush your teeth at night. In short, they lived a life of luxury and ease. And pretty soon, the memory of the lazy boy that would sit by the fire in his dressing gown became to them like some distant